listening to the Kill Radio Weekly News and Review. I'm your announcer, DJ Shy John. As an aside this morning, ladies and gentlemen, I just wanted to let you know I have to sort through the news every week to find you the best stories. I had to overlook two important news stories this morning. One, that the python hunt has ended in Florida, and that they took the biggest snake, the contest winner, and they let him go back into the Everglades. But here's a warning to all you lady pythons in the Everglades. That python is wearing a wire, so watch out. And the other news article I wanted to let you know about, in the Yahoo News, there's an article about the gentleman who discovered the Higgs boson particle, and they have calculated the end of the universe, but that's not going to happen this week or even this year, so I stepped over those two news articles to get to this one in HuffPost Money, dated Tuesday, February 19th, 2013. And here in HuffPost Money, the blog, we have Dean Baker, co-director of the Center for Economic Policy Research and the author of The End of Loser Liberalism, Making Markets Progressive. Minimum wage. Who decided workers should fall behind? It was encouraging to see President Obama propose an increase in the minimum wage in the State of the Union Address, even if the $9 target did not seem especially ambitious. If the $9 minimum wage were in effect this year, the inflation-adjusted value of the minimum wage would still be more than 2% lower than it had been in the late 1960s. And this proposed target would not even be reached until 2015, when inflation is predicted to lower the value by another 6%. While giving a raise worth more than $3,000 a year to the country's lowest paid workers is definitely a good thing, it is hard to get too excited about a situation in which these workers will still be earning less than their counterparts did almost 50 years ago. By targeting wage levels that roughly move in step with inflation, we have implemented a policy that workers at the bottom will receive none of the benefits of economic growth through time. In other words, if we hold the purchasing power of the minimum wage fixed through time, as the country as a whole gets richer, minimum wage workers will fall ever further behind. It is important to realize that this was not always the case. The federal minimum wage was first put in place in 1938. From that year until 1968, when its value peaked, the purchasing power of the minimum wage increased by more than 140%. As a result, minimum wage workers saw a sharp increase in their living standards. Over this 30-year period, low-wage workers shared in the gains of the economy as a whole, as the minimum wage rose in step with productivity growth. If workers at the bottom had continued to share in the economy's growth in the years since 1968, as they had in the three decades before 1968, we would be looking at a very different economy and society. If the minimum wage had risen in step with productivity growth, it would be over $16.50 an hour today. That is higher than the hourly wages earned by 40% of men and half of women. It shouldn't seem strange that the wages of workers at the bottom rise in step with productivity. After all, they do for many other workers even when the work has not in any direct way become more complex. For example, when a realtor is selling a $400,000 home rather than a $200,000 home, it does not necessarily require any greater effort or skills. In fact, if we were talking about the years of the housing bubble, it may just be the case that the same home had doubled in price, yet the commission will be twice as much. There would be similar stories in many other occupations where the growth of the economy by itself would tend to make wages rise. It is not obviously more difficult or time-consuming to sell 1,000 shares of stock or credit default swaps at prices that are twice as high, yet the commissions going to the brokers are likely to be twice as large. Doctors, lawyers, and other highly educated professionals have also been positioned to benefit from the growth in the economy. We have left those at the bottom out. This has been by design, with a minimum wage that has been set at a level that has not even kept pace with the cost of living. As a practical matter, we couldn't possibly raise the minimum wage anytime soon to $16.50 without serious disruptions to the economy. One result would also be higher prices in the economy. Of course, this is also the result of having doctors who average $250,000 a year and Wall Street bankers who can pocket many millions of dollars a year. Their income is a cost to everyone else. Somehow, the issue of higher prices and inflation is an important point when we discuss the wages of people getting $7.25 an hour to wash dishes, but it is not supposed to enter into polite conversations when we talk about the most highly paid workers. That is a political choice, not an economic one. We have structured our economy so that we can get cheap restaurant meals because of low-paid workers. Hotel stays cost less because we ensure a plentiful supply of workers at near the minimum wage. And convenience stores stay open 24 hours because the people working the midnight shift get paid almost nothing. There is no economic reason why those at the bottom should not share in the gains from economic growth. And there is no economic reason why those at the top should be such disproportionate beneficiaries. We rigged the deck this way more than three decades ago. We can restructure the rules so that money no longer flows upwards. A minimum wage that again follows in step with productivity growth would be a large part of this reversal. Follow Dean Baker on Twitter, www.twitter.com/DeanBaker13. Now time for the Harper's Weekly Review. Again, February 19th, 2013. A meteor struck Earth's atmosphere over Russia, releasing a 300-kiloton shockwave that shattered 2 million square feet worth of glass in the Siberian city of Chelyabinsk, collapsed the roof of the city's zinc factory, and injured 1,200 people before degrading into a 10-ton meteorite that landed in nearby Lake Cherbarkal. Old women cried out doomsday prophecies in the streets. A nationalist politician suggested that the explosion was the test of a new American weapon, and Russia's deputy prime minister called on world leaders to cooperate on asteroid defense technologies. "So we stood there," said a Chelyabinsk barmaid, and then somebody joked, "Now the green men will crawl out and say hello." Fireballs streaked across the skies above Cuba and the San Francisco Bay, and a 150-foot-long asteroid that scientists had been monitoring for more than a year passed 17,150 feet over Indonesia without incident. "This is a wake-up call from space," said a former NASA astronaut who was developing asteroid detection programs. "Wouldn't it be silly if we got wiped out because we weren't looking?" "This all gives us reason to think," said a Chelyabinsk deacon in the Church of the Transfiguration. "It is the purpose of our life just to raise a family and die, or is it to live eternally?" A lightning bolt struck St. Peter's Basilica, an underground nuclear test in Pyongyang, North Korea, triggered a 4.9 magnitude earthquake, and hackers in Great Falls, Montana, broadcast an emergency alert warning of a zombie uprising. In Quetta, Pakistan, a bomb hidden in a water tank was rolled into an outdoor vegetable market, on a tractor trailer and detonated by a remote control that may have been stowed in a rickshaw, killing 81 people. 37 people were killed in a series of car bombings in Shiite neighborhoods of Baghdad. 103 nomadic herders were killed during a machete, RPG, and spear raid in South Sudan, and 36 pilgrims died in a stampede at a gathering of 30 million Hindus in Allahabad, India. Blade runner Oscar Pistorius, a double amputee who competed in the 400 meters for South Africa in the 2012 Summer Olympic Games, was charged with the murder of his girlfriend, model Reba Steenkamp. Former Los Angeles policeman Christopher Dorner, who killed four people during a series of attacks on police officers and their families, was found dead of a self-inflicted gunshot wound to the head after police fired incendiary tear gas canisters into the cabin at Big Bear Lake, where he had taken refuge. Dorner's supporters marched in protest of the police corruption he believed had led to his dismissal and of the manhunt conducted to find him. "I really, really believe he was innocent," said one protester in the firing case. Mississippi formally notified the U.S. government that it had ratified the 13th Amendment outlawing slavery. This year's State of the Union address, in which President Barack Obama asked Congress to draft legislation on gun control, climate change, and immigration, was found to have been written at a 10th grade reading level. As Obama entered the Capitol to deliver the speech, a female greeter wiped from his cheek the lipstick left by another female greeter. In his final State of the City address, New York Mayor Michael Bloomberg proposed that the city lessen the punishment for marijuana possession and ban the plastic foam packaging used in to-go boxes. Iceland was considering a ban on internet pornography. "If we can send a man to the moon," said an Interior Ministry advisor, "we must be able to tackle porn on the internet." France's parliament voted to allow gay couples to marry and to adopt children. The International Olympic Committee voted to eliminate wrestling from the 2020 Olympic Games in order to make room for one of basketball and softball, karate, roller sports, sport climbing, squash, wakeboarding, or wushu. "Gays," said a Russian wrestling coach, "will soon run the whole world." Musician Chubby Checker sued HP over a Palm OS app bearing his name that estimates a penis length based on a man's shoe size. The Chubby Checker. A Rhode Island mother knocked down a 12-foot snow penis built by her 16-year-old son. "It's just a big pair of balls now," she said. A Mankato, Minnesota woman flung a used tampon at police officers who were attempting to strip search her. While celebrating a $75,000 lottery win, two brothers in Wichita, Kansas, blew up their house with butane purchased to fuel lighters for their bongs. Mountain Dew announced plans to release a breakfast soda called Kickstart, and Bud Light was found to be the most popular alcoholic drink among the underage. Patient John, the volunteer spokesman for the Heart Attack Grill in Las Vegas, died of a heart attack he suffered outside the restaurant. A falling lifeboat killed five members of a cruise ship during a safety drill in the Canary Islands. And the Carnival cruise ship Triumph was towed into harbor in Mobile, Alabama, 5 days after it went adrift without electricity or plumbing in the Gulf of Mexico. Guests slept on feces-soaked carpets, defecated into plastic bags, bartered diapers for cigarettes, and created a tent city on the ship's swimming pool decks. "The bathrobes," tweeted Carnival Cruise, "are complimentary." A carnival parade in Cologne displayed a float depicting Angela Merkel as a sow suckling hungry European nations. Paraplegic Florida piglet Chris P. Bacon was given a custom-built wheelchair. A volunteer fire department in Hazard County, New York, received death threats for organizing a weekend squirrel slam hunting competition. And an Affenpinscher monkey dog named Banana Joe bested a sheepdog named Swagger to win the 137th Westminster Dog Show in New York City. A fantastic face, a great body, said the competition's best in show judge. I've never had my hands on a better Affenpinscher, ever. This article by Ryan Liebenthal. Well, that's all I had for the news this week, ladies and gentlemen. As usual, please be good to one another and stay out of the news.